This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you laying your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason. It's that Ripple Effect. That's just that ripple. That's just that Ripple Effect. What you do, come back, triple.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl, K-Dot, back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. Ayo, shout out to all those supporters out there. That's right. Okay, shout out to know what that button's for. That is for the round of applause for you guys, because I have to show my utmost appreciation for you guys no matter what is going on. As you can see, new venue, right? Yeah, I'm trying to stay busy. I'm on the road nowadays. Just trying to keep things fresh, trying to get some meet and greets, trying to get some new business, you know, networking and things of that nature. So I'm going to be traveling definitely a lot more. And I'm excited. I'm tired, but I'm excited. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm glad you guys are here experiencing this with me. And you can definitely let me know. I definitely want to have something where if you're not too far for right now and you're like, hey, why don't you come over and bring all your equipment, you know, and have you as a guest on. That's definitely something I would love to do and sit here and talk it up. I was just talking with a buddy. He was just like, just hit me up out of nowhere. I want to talk some Knicks. Yeah, okay. I feel you. Who doesn't want to talk some Knicks when you're a Knicks fan, right? But so we'll talk some Knicks for a second here. Listen, the Knicks, I feel like that's just the best way to do it. I feel like whenever someone brings up the Knicks, year after year, I kind of just do the, you know, the shoulder shrug and kind of somewhat belief, but don't want to be naive. And it is what it is type of thing. But listen, yeah, we have Brunson, right? We have Randall. We have RJ Barrett. It's like RJ, it's like, I don't really know where to place him. You know, he just got paid. He needs to settle down, you know, kind of play within the offense. I just feel like sometimes when you're watching the games, it's kind of just RJ chucking up a three, Randall chucking up a three. I get that they're trying to modernize their offense. You know, Coach Tibbs is more of the, you know, worry about the defense, the offense will come type of mentality. But nowadays, you can't really go by that. Why? Because three is better than two. It's just that simple, right? If you're not a three-point shooting team, you're not going to win in this league. Thank you, Stephen Curry. That's just where we're at, you know, because you got Damian Lillard's out there. You got, I mean, you got the 3-and-D guys. You, everybody, centers. I mean, you see Giannis and them and Embiid. Everybody's working on their three-point shot. Jokic, you know, back in the day, back when I fell in love with basketball, that was, like, unheard of. You know, in the 90s, like, you will not see a seven-footer, you know, or 6'10 or better pulling from three. You're just not going to see it. Like, and if he did, the coach would be like, what are you doing? You want to come sit with me? Chill. You know, it's not how we're going to win the game. And but that's not today's game. Like, today's game is totally different. So I understand what the Knicks are trying to do, but it, and you can just see the inconsistencies, right? Because you can see the games where they should be beating up on people, and then you'll see the games where they're beating up on Utah. And, you know, Utah has been doing pretty good, you know, all considering, because we've been sleeping on them, let's face it. But, you know, but they've been holding their own. And Denver in that close game was like 106 to 103. Like, that was close. That was a good game. That was games where you're kind of like, okay, I can see it. You know, you're starting to see this little glimmer of hope of being competitive because, you know, the East is no joke. I understand the injuries, you know, to Middleton over there with the Bucks. And now you have Tyrese Maxey out. He's supposed to be out for like 3 to 4 weeks, folks, just in case you didn't know. Injury last night. You also have James Harden, as you guys know. He's out. So, but these guys are going to be back. And what did I tell you before? I really don't start taking teams all that seriously until after the holidays are done. Once things settle down, right? Because think about this. Like, last year, when you're thinking about before, you know, the holidays, nobody was talking about the Celtics. Nobody was sitting there saying, yo, the Celtics, they're going to the finals. Like, nobody was saying that, right? They got their act together around the holidays, after the holidays, right? And started to make this push. And then they started to look a little scary. Then they started to look a little scary. You know, but even people really wasn't sold on them until they saw what they did in the playoffs, kind of just getting past the Nets, getting past the Bucks. You know, they were just, they were going through it, and then finally getting past Miami. And then you're like, oh, okay. Okay. You know, because Ime Udoka, first year head coach, but very proven, showed you, like, listen, given the opportunity, this is what I can do. And rightfully so. And I can see why the Nets were trying to grab him up, but Nets were like, yeah, it's a little too much. We got our own mess going on. You got your own situation. I don't mean to, you know, I'm not trying to say nothing about you, but we got a mess here. And to bring two messes together, it's just one big mess. I don't think, you know, you don't want no parts of that. So meaning it's really hard to kind of sit there and say what does this team look like right now? Right now they look a mess. A lot of teams look a mess in the beginning of the season, right? Look at the Warriors. They can't win on the road. Solid at home. They only lost like one game at home, but, you know, including beating my Knicks last night, you know. That game got wildly out of control, you know. Knicks trying to come back, but just not consistent, you know. I mean, but don't get me wrong. I mean, to try to sit there and say that the Knicks are supposed to be on the Golden State Warriors level, you know, with all that moving and switching, and no. And I just told you what their record was at home, so I wasn't really expecting them to come in, you know, in the Bay Area to go beat the Golden State Warriors at their own game, literally. So, but do I like some pieces that the Knicks have? Yes, but I just think we put so much high hopes in some pieces, like, you know, Evan Fournier. He didn't really come out to be like the true scorer like we thought he was going to be. Like the guys that I like, the solid guys, the role players, the energizers, you know, I liked Jericho Sims, man. The effort that guy was putting in last night, right? The second chance opportunities, offensive rebounding. We not good at offensive rebounding, but Jericho Sims, he puts in that energy. He's right where we, Obi Toppin. Like, you already know how I feel about Obi Toppin. Like, that's my guy right there. Emmanuel Quickly. These guys are energizers. These guys will keep you in it. You know, they do add a certain amount of depth. You know, don't get me wrong. They're not a finished product, right? Because we're still trying to wait to see what they're going to be yet. Because we don't know yet. We already know what Randall is, right? RJ, it's still kind of a question mark. Brunson, okay. I'm going to give him a pass because he had one off night. He's been putting up numbers. You know, he can definitely give you, what, 20 and 8? You know, maybe a couple handful of rebounds. Like, Brunson is solid. Love Brunson. We could talk about his check all day, but solid dude. It's all we had out there. He earned his money. We can't take that away from him with the Mavs and what he did and what they did to the Suns, right? Brunson was a big part of that. Yeah, he had Luka, and we can argue that, but Brunson was a big part of that, and he deserved the money that he got. But I'm just talking about in the grand scheme of things, right? Because we like to think about the future, because as Knicks fans, you know, our present and our past, you know, not so good. So it would be nice to see what we're going to be doing next. Like, and one of my friends reached out to me. He was talking about Cat. Like, we got to pay attention to, you know, Carl Anthony Towns next season, because in July, where he can potentially be free and we can actually think about him and where he's going to be going, and maybe we can try to recruit him, because Brunson and Cat, that would be a nice combination over there. But honestly, that really depends on how well the Timberwolves do this season. And like I said, we're not really going to be able to see how these guys are going until after the holidays. We need to see how Rudy Gobert in that match. I don't know if they're going to give up on that so easily. Rudy just got there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rudy's got some immaturity too, you know, and Anthony Edwards, he's young. And D'Angelo Russell, I told you, I didn't like that combination. It just seemed like too much fun. I'm sure when they go out and, you know, I'm sure it's a ball, but you guys are not winning. You guys are not playing up to your potential. When you think about what these guys are able to do in their skill sets, now I get it. Spacing is an issue. You know, I've already spoken about how, you know, Anthony Edwards already made a joke about, like, how every time, like, he's trying to go up in the middle, he's trying to yam it, or he's trying to, you know, do a simple layup, and you got Kat right there, and you got Rudy Gobert right there, because Rudy Gobert doesn't shoot, so he's going to be in the middle. So that's, you know, it's like give and take, but Rudy Gobert is obviously there for defense and for rebounds. Like, he's going to get you those offensive rebounds. That's what he's there for. He's also there for defense as well. And that was a big problem that you guys were having before, you know, in the playoffs, as well as taking care of the ball. But you guys had your fair share of issues, and there was a reason why they gave you Rudy Gobert. So it really just depends. For me, it really depends on this season how things go. Man, I don't know if they just can't get along in terms of chemistry, like not so much as, like, you know, they don't like each other. It just doesn't work on the court. Because even when Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert would talk about it, you know, excuse me, listen, they had their own little history. But you know how the media is. They make a lot out of nothing. You know, it's okay for some people to go through things. You know, that's what happens in relationships, you know, friendships, different things of that nature. You know, you go through things, and sometimes you grow through them, or sometimes you split apart, right? And I think that's what happened. Like, Donovan Mitchell just said, hey, it's not like I hate the guy. It just didn't work. You know what I mean? Like, it just did not work. You guys saw it. We kept hitting a wall in the playoffs, and we were never able to push past through it. So when that happens, you have to make changes. Like, and that's what they did. And obviously, as a Knicks fan, I wanted Donovan Mitchell. That would have been great. But Utah Jazz has something else in mind. Cleveland is very happy. And honestly, the way they're playing in Cleveland, I can't. See, that's the thing. Like, my fandom is not, like, as real as my hate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people's hate is real. You know what I mean? And it just goes hand in hand with their fandom. But I'm not really like that. Like, I like that Cleveland team. I really do. And with DeJounte, like, I like those guys. I like how they mesh together, the way they play on the court. It is like poetry in motion. It's so crazy, because it's like you would think that these guys have been playing together forever, you know, and they're young, and I don't know, they have a huge upside. So it will be interesting to see if, you know, Donovan Mitchell is still interested in coming back home, or if he's kind of like, you know what, it would have been great to go back home, but I think we got something here, you know. As long as we stay healthy, maybe add another piece coming off the bench, a score. I don't know. We kind of solid. Like, you know, like, I mean, with Garland, and he didn't even play all that many games. And it just works. And that's just a testament to the coaching, too. So that's props to them. You know, props to the GM and everybody who made that deal. That smart. Nobody saw that coming either. But that's just what I'm talking about with the Knicks. Are we going to be able to compete with that? You know, are we going to be able to win some competitive games here and there? Sure. Are we ever going to make it interesting? Yeah, we'll be able to make it interesting. But we're talking about getting out of the first round. Getting out of that first round. God forbid, a second round. You know, like, that's what we're talking about. Like, that's the teams that's what I'm trying to say when it comes to the Knicks. It's not that I'm very hard on them, and, you know, let's just face it. With the Knicks, as a fan, you do develop some calluses over the years, you know, so I can get how people would say that, but it just is what it is. How are you going to compete? That's just what I'll say to you. And a lot of people thought the Celtics wouldn't be as good as last year. You know, and I'm just like, their lineup has kind of been like a little wonky because of injuries and different things going on. And they're as solid as ever, not to mention their coach. They don't even have their coach. They don't have Ime Udoka, who took them all the way to the finals. And it doesn't matter. Like, think about that. Like, that's culture. Like, that's literally next man up. Like, even the coach, like, even the leader. Like, that's saying a lot in the games that they're winning and the fashion that they're winning in. And I'm telling you, that pickup by Brogdon, I told you when I saw that in the offseason, I was like, yo, I didn't want to say game over, but this is a game changer. When you're talking about in the playoffs and adding more depth, and it puts Marcus Smart more on notice to take care of the ball. You know what I mean? Like, it's, man, that's what I want. Like, as a Knicks fan, that's what I want. But I can't hate, man, that these teams, they're doing a good job, you know. And just to kind of, it's just so unfortunate about some teams that I'm looking at. That the Hornets, like, you didn't have LaMelo to start. And then my man just got back the other day. And then he re-injures the ankle from a fan sitting courtside. Like, that is such a killer, right? And now he's out again, and we're not sure for how long. And you got to feel for the guy. You got to feel for the organization, because obviously, you know, with can't even forget think of this guy's name, but is it Bridges? Sorry, you'll have to just excuse me on that one. I can't even remember the guy's name. But anyway, he had like the whole domestic thing going on. I'm sure you're probably like shouting it out me right now, because I'm doing all this from memory, guys. I don't know if you ever realized that, but I'm always doing this from memory. I'm not, my computer's not telling me anything. My phone is not telling me anything. But anyway, so yeah, so he was dealing with the whole domestic thing, you know, arrested. And then more information was coming out and saying that, you know, it was his ex that was causing a lot of the drama, and he was just trying to defend himself. Listen, I wasn't even trying to get into that. I don't even know all the intimate details. I just know this is what keeps popping up. And it looked like he wasn't going to be in the NBA for a while. And now all of a sudden teams are interested, because they're starting to see that there was, you know, there's two sides of the story. There's always two sides of the story. But I guess that side was more so in his favor, right? So they were kind of like, okay, Markelle Bridges, I told you. No, sorry. I'm sorry. That was the Suns. I'm bugging out right now. But stay with me. Stay with me. I promise. I'm gonna get to it. I know. But anyway, yeah, so now other teams are interested. Now teams are like, oh, so this is not as bad as we thought it was. Like, not like with the Spurs and that situation. Like, you already know what's going on with that. I won't even get into detail, but I'm just saying, like, that guy is done. Like, but this situation, okay, so now we can work with it. So you never know where he might pop up, because the Lakers were talking about him, the Blazers. There was other teams being thrown around. So that's going to be interesting. But at the same time, it's like, what happened to the Hornets? The Hornets were fun to watch. Now it's like, what happened to them, right? That's just unfortunate. It's just a little mention, just so you guys should know what's going around. We're going to kind of just go around the NBA real quick. The Hornets, listen. I mean, the Hawks, right? I don't think people give Trae Young enough credit. I mean, that's what kind of sucks about being short, man. Like, you're never given that much credit. Trust me, I know the struggle. Like, you're always, like, not really expected much, right? But Trae Young is a beast. Like, he is cold-blooded. You know, he'll give it to you from 30, right? I mean, just that whole performance that he put on the Knicks about 2 years ago, I mean, it definitely gave me Reggie Miller vibes, you know, but not, you know, Reggie Miller is his own category. We respect that and we understand that. But I'm just saying, with the whole performance, like, he kind of bought into the whole Broadway thing, like kind of just brought it to us in our own city. And that's why it made me kind of just feel some type of way, especially with Randall and all them. Like, you know, because I'm forcing them to like step up. Like, don't let them do that to you. Don't let them punk you in your own city. What's wrong with you? But anyway, the Hawks. Listen, I'm telling you, they just need some pieces. They need pieces. I don't know what's going on with John Collins, but apparently they're shopping him around, and people are really thinking, where should he go? I think they're talking about the Blazers. Blazers in a lot of conversation, just so y'all know, because Blazers, they serious too. I told you what's going on with them. They got a nice little squad over there. A lot of people didn't know what direction that they were going in once C.J. McCollum left, but they're doing just fine. They're doing just fine. But I am really interested to see where he ends up landing. And also, why is it that they're getting rid of him? That's another thing that I need to know. But hopefully we'll find out sometime soon. But Lakers fans, right? Anthony Davis has been putting on a show for y'all, right? I mean, Let's call it what it is. We've been calling out Anthony Davis religiously, right? Everybody's got jokes about the about the injuries, like left and right, and you know, I mean, you guys are messed up. I mean, messed up. I've seen a lot of those memes, and some of y'all even putting on like little skits of Anthony Davis, like walking around the house and, you know, opening the refrigerator and then saying, like he got hurt. Y'all wrong for that. That's that man's life. Like, y'all messed up. Y'all got to stop. That's a little too much. But what are y'all saying now, though? That's all I need to know. Because Anthony Davis is putting up buckets right now. Like, he's putting up, like, video game crazy 2K numbers right now. And everybody's just quiet. That's what's annoying. Because, honestly, if I'm going to tell you about a guy, right, I'm going to tell you both the good and the bad. I'm not going to sit there and just dog the guy out. And then all of a sudden he has, like, this breakout, like, last two games and not even mention it. Come on now. We gotta stop doing that. That's just annoying. Because it's almost like you see whatever it is that you want to see. You're not seeing both sides. Or you're not just seeing the whole thing. Like, come on. I'm like, that's not cool at all, you know. Lakers are obviously having a hard time. They gave up all that scoring. You know, now they're trying to find ways to get it back because I'm hearing that they're interested in Kuzma, they're interested in Bradley Beal. They're going to somehow get a nice little package. I'm not sure exactly where that's coming from, how they're going to get it done. Excuse me. They're obviously shopping around Russell Westbrook, who's having like a night and day season, right? It's incredible. You know, you just make those adjustments in unapologetically because you're the coach, you're Darvin Ham, right? You know, you're trying to make a name for yourself, kind of like what Ime Udoka did and he took his team all the way to the finals. You know, you want to let guys know, like, hey, listen, I'm the coach. I'm trying to establish a culture here. We're playing defense. We're playing hard. We're playing smart. If something's not working, we're simply just not going to do it like that. We're going to find another way to do it, even if that means Russell Westbrook paying you all that money to come off the bench. That's just what it is. And when he did that, it was just a total difference. Because it's not like Russell Westbrook all of a sudden just lost all his power. It's like everybody was on some, like, you know, Space Jam. Like, he just, like, his powers are trapped in the ball or something. Like, I'm like, yo, it wasn't even that serious. It wasn't that deep. That's just a great example that how if things are not put in its proper place, that's how they can look out in the court. It just looks ridiculous. It looks like it doesn't fit. You know, chemistry is huge. And making sure guys are in their proper role, which Frank Vogel had a hard time doing with this group, mainly because probably nobody was listening to him. I'm not going to sit there and say that, you know, he's inept and he wasn't capable of doing his job, and because that's ridiculous. Of course he's capable of doing the job. That's why he was hired. But if guys don't respect you enough to listen and to understand where you're coming from and to see it working, they have to buy in. It doesn't matter how talented guys are. It doesn't matter, you know, if they're healthy or whatever. If you don't buy in and everybody just kind of does whatever they want to do, that's going to be the end result. Just going to be a lot of chaos, not going to make the playoffs, going to have a lot of fan bases upset, you know, and then ESPN is going to be talking about it every single day. That's just the reality of it. But that's just a little NBA action. Like I said, we can't really take too much seriously. MVP candidates, people were discussing with me. It's way too early for that. But if you wanted to get into it, I was going to say John Morant is definitely high up there. But he just got injured, which is really, really, really annoying. You got to put Luka Doncic in that conversation, right? You have to put you got to put Embiid in that conversation. Embiid, I probably should have mentioned him first because, man, does he deserve it. I'm sure he's probably like, oh, so it really doesn't matter what I do. It's like, I'm sorry. I chose Jokic last year. I feel like I'm still defending my pick because of the Joker did something that no one else done in NBA history, and he did that without his two leading scorers. Like, how do you have, like, 500 assists without your number one and number two leading scorers? Like, come on, like, come on. You can't be in your feelings that much, not understand that. You probably are. You don't. It's cool. But anyway, I wasn't changing my pick. That's kind of how it was. But, and then it was the games played. If you really have to decide between a player and it's literally like splitting hairs, then I have to give the advantage to the guy that was out there more games. It's harder. It's harder. It's an endurance. Like, that's the NBA season. That's what. That's the difference between a professional and an amateur. Yeah, it's easy to, you know, to come out there, you know, once a week. If your game is only, like, once a week and you're able to put up all those numbers, okay, let's see you do that in some back-to-backs. Let's say you do that, you know, in four games in 7 days. Like, yeah, it gets a little crazy. It hits different for sure. You know? But, yeah, guys, so... That's why I don't want to get too crazy with that, you know. And who's eligible for all these different things. Like, we have to just wait and see. But most improved, you know, you got to look at Grant Williams, man. Look what, I'm sorry, Grant Williams. I'm bugging today. I'm on one today, right? But no, but Grant, I'm talking about on the Blazers. The numbers that he's putting up, it's crazy. It's crazy how guys just step up and get so comfortable in their role. And not to mention, it's another year in the league, right? It's another off season where you get to learn and work on things, work on your body and different things that it's amazing. And I was talking with other people and they were like, oh, but Bane too. And yeah, he's a candidate too, right? He's in that conversation too. It wasn't just one pick. It's just out to me, like the first candidate that came to my mind was Grant Williams. I mean, why do I keep saying that? Grant. Can't think of, don't even ask me to. Jeremy Grant. Is it Jeremy Grant? I'm bugging today. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, so that's pretty much what's going on with the NBA right now. Kyrie Irving is going to be back, I'm hearing soon, sooner than later. I heard that he's done with his criteria, with his checklist, things that he had to do. Whether you're for it or against it, the point is he's coming back, right? That's what we all wanted. Everybody wanted him to play. I'm sure that's what he wants. I'm sure that's why he did all those things, you know, so he can play. And hopefully we can just take it from there. But... Something that we really got to talk about, and I'm going to try to make it short, but if you know me, it just means it's not going to be short. I'm going to try, though, I promise, because I definitely want to get to some NFL, because the NFL is getting crazy. But so I want to talk about what Kevin Durant said about his teammates, right? And this was definitely in the offseason, but still same teammates, though. So he pretty much called out all his teammates, right, and pretty much said, hey, you want me to win with Claxton, you know, Harris, you know, I'm sure he didn't say it with that tone. I'm just doing it for you guys because I'm sure you enjoy that. But, like, really, dude? Now, I'm not going to be naive. The man's not wrong. But do you really need to be that candid publicly? Like, do you really have to tell that much truth publicly? I imagine that was really supposed to be a private conversation. Like, you know what I mean? That got overheard. Because I can see him saying that privately. And if it got out, then it's like, oh, that's just unfortunate. But it was private and he's not lying by anybody's stretch of imagination. The man is telling the painful truth. You know, but the fact that he, you know, he was on a podcast, and he knew that this was going to be public, and he had to have known this was going to be news. I mean, you're Kevin freaking Durant. You know, you're one of the best scorers of our time. You know, forget generation, of our time. You're one of the best scorers, period, in basketball to ever touch a ball. Like, that's you. Like, you're that dude. You're him. You're one of one. Never saw anybody shoot the way you are. You know, meaning, like, your stature. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy, you know. And, well, Victor Wembanyama, that's probably another story. We'll probably see a Kevin Durant 2.0, but that's another conversation for another day. But, yeah, so he called out the whole team, and it's like, dude. Again, it just kind of made me go back to the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, just to kind of give you a little bit of NFL. Like, that is not the way you inspire leadership. That's not the way you inspire guys or to motivate guys to want to be better and to make them feel like, you know, like they're worth something. I mean, like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine being in that locker room and hearing that. You know, and don't get me wrong, they had a win the other day, like right after the news broke. And you know what? That just means these guys are professionals. You know, and you got to respect that. And you got to understand that, you know what? That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to come out and ball. They're supposed to win the games that they're supposed to win, right? That's what you want. So that's what's up. But at the same time, it's like, you think that they don't look at him differently? Like, dude, like, you, like, damn. Like, you really, like, damn, like, man, like, that is so, like, man. You know what I mean? Like, I digress. But I do want your opinions. A lot of you did actually tell me your opinions on social media, and I do appreciate that. A lot of people was like, "Nah, he was right," but yeah, you don't say that publicly. you don't do that, because you know your teammate's gonna hear you, and it's like, what do you expect to? What is there to be gained from that? I don't think that needed to be said. Like, I feel like the real basketball purists, the real people who watch the games, like, I know you wasn't winning. I wasn't expecting much, to be honest. I wasn't sitting up there like, oh, they got Kevin Durant, so it doesn't matter who's out there. Like, he'll take them all the way to the finals. Heck, he'll get a championship. Why not? Nah, I never came out my mouth. So, nah. If you Kevin Durant, you can't say that. But you know, these young guys, you can't tell them anything, right? They know it. They already know it all. But I'm just saying, you can't say that. We know that. We know. I mean, even the people who do say, like, oh, it's Kevin Durant, you should go out there and just listen. Even they say that for ratings, dude. Like, you don't know how this works. Like, some people need the ratings in order to say that. Like, it just depends on whatever, you know, whatever you stand on. Because at the end of the day, they don't want to get fired from their job. You know what I mean? Like, this is me. Like, I stand on this. I'm growing this from, you know, from the mud. You know what I mean? So whatever I say is because I want to say it, and this is what I truly believe. Nobody's making me say anything. You know what I mean? So there's a general right way to do things, and there's a wrong way. And if I do something wrong, I just have to sit there and be like, I got to take this L real quick and then figure out how I could do better, you know? Like, but you know, can't really say nothing. But quick. See, I told you I was going to make it a little quick, you know, because at the end of the day, it's like, bad Kevin Durant. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't put your teammates down. Come on. For the media, like, just because the media says something like that, you got to put it. Man. Anywho, there's so much riding on this season for so many different teams. How the Green Bay Packers insist or keep trying to convince us that they're still in it. So that means they would have to win like 6 straight or something like that. Yeah, that's not happening. I'm sure that they will make these games very competitive. And I told you that boy Watson, fast as heck, needs to clean up, sharpen up a couple things. Probably needs to do more film. Probably needs more time with Aaron Rodgers, right? Work on that chemistry and timing, exactly what Aaron Rodgers wants. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a perfectionist, and he is one of the greatest, you know, quarterbacks in terms of talent. He's talented as all heck. You know, but he's been slipping too, and he's admitted that. He's actually owned that. First time, I don't want to say ever in his life, but first time I ever heard it, and I listen to a lot of stuff, so. But kudos to him for owning it and saying, you know, we got to live up to our potential. And he said, he didn't live up to his, you know, pretty much. You know how it is. He said it in a very indirect way, but that's pretty much what he was implying, you know, that he wasn't living up to his potential. And that's exactly what he needs to do if they plan on running the table. Because he said they have the potential to run the table and just win these next 6 games. Okay, sounds good. We'll see if that happens. There's been a lot of discussion between Kirk Cousins and Dak. I'm going to try to be real brief, okay? Kirk Cousins right now is not doing anything to screw things up. Did you hear me? So you can't put Kirk Cousins in that elite category. And I'm glad we're talking about quarterbacks right now, because let me also say this. Josh Allen had made some mistakes. Yes, I'm talking about Josh Allen now, because we're talking about elite quarterbacks. I don't think Dak Prescott is an elite quarterback. I think he is a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins. I think he is a average quarterback. I do not think he is a good or a great quarterback. I just think right now that Justin Jefferson has elevated his game to another level. Like, I was joking around in the beginning of the season, like, oh my God, this guy is playing like he's like top three. Or I think I was saying that the team was playing so bad, you know, against them that, you know, that those DBs were making him look like a top three, a top three receiver. Yo, JJ is a top three receiver. Don't at me. Like, JJ's proven himself. Justin Jefferson has proven himself. Shout out to LSU. Shout out to OBJ. Hopefully you're going to choose a team soon, my man. You know, some people are waiting on you. And I say all that to say this. I know they have a big game coming up with Dak and all that pressure riding on him. And some people don't think he has that much pressure. Yeah, he does. He does. Because right now that team is talented. Like, yeah, are they a number one receiver away? I don't know if I'm sold on CeeDee Lamb being a number one just yet. I don't think I'm sold on that. I know he is currently because that's just based off the roster, right? But you have tight ends, you have Schultz, you have Gallup. He has weapons, and you have a defense. You have a defense. You have a running game. Tony Pollard, I think they said he's averaging like 6 yards a carry. My boy, like, what's going on, right? And that's without Elliott. Right? But Elliott's physical. People forget. Like, he helps out the line. Like, you know, some people just don't get it. Like, you know, that's just the messed up part. You know, when you earn things out of the mud, people don't really see that, right? They like to see the flashy, the numbers, the stats. And that's why I'm not really into all that, because half the time, you know what I mean, that doesn't tell you the whole picture. Like, guys like Elliott, like, he has to start. He has to, you know what I mean? He sets that tone, that physical presence. That way, when Pollard gets in the game, he can just run through guys. But yeah, I don't understand that. It's okay. But if I were the Cowboys, I'm on the phone. I mean, y'all were trying to get Brandon Cook. That didn't happen. Okay, so he's still with the Texans. But y'all should be calling up OBJ right now, and y'all should give him whatever he wants. Because are you guys a receiver away from getting to the championship? I think you might be. And if I'm wrong, you can add me because I want to have that debate. But you guys, I got to get out of here. You already know. I only ask you guys to remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you lay on your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason.
What's that?
It's that ripple effect. That's just that ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back triple.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.